We are taking as one of our three texts, verse 8. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen and the uttermost part of the earth for thy possession. You know, God has a way of changing men's plans for them. God has a way of changing men's plans for them. The Lord said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Martin Luther's father said, does not God command you to obey your parents? See, you should obey me. I want you to become a great man and not a monk. Did Martin Luther become a great man? He certainly did. And he, for one, had no intention of becoming a great man. All that Martin Luther wanted was peace and deliverance from the gnawing guilt and fears and doubts that he had. That was all he wanted. He wasn't looking to make a name for himself at all. If Martin had become a lawyer in Germany as his father wanted him to become, then today he would be forgotten. Remember what Isaac Watts in his version of Psalm 90 said? Time, like an ever-rolling stream, bears all her sons away. They fly forgotten as a dream dies at the opening of day. How many German lawyers are household names this month? How many German lawyers that lived 500 years ago are household names today? There are people all over this planet that regularly remember the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Abraham, David, Paul, Peter, and John. But you know, at this time, Martin Luther is also remembered all over the world. So in spite of his father's desire, Martin Luther did the right thing, and his father Hans lived long enough to see that Martin had done the right thing. And there's good testimony that his father came to trust in the Savior that Martin proclaimed. Now we conclude our study of Luther today. We have been looking this month, first of all, at his honesty. He just wanted real help. That's all he wanted. He honestly wanted real help. And then we looked at his hope. He had hope for the present and he had hope for the future. We look thirdly at his herald. He was the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message. And then last week, we considered his haven. His haven was the God of providential history who was caring for him and keeping him. And now the last one today, his heritage. His heritage. Now that Luther has gone on to be with Christ, what has he left behind? What has he passed down to the following generations, to our generation and the generations yet to come? What has he left? Well, we will think about Luther's heritage under three headings. Number one, sons. Number two, scriptures. And number three, states, like the United States, okay? So we're looking, first of all, at Luther's sons, descendants, sons. Psalm 127, verse 3 says, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Martin Luther had several natural children or sons. Now that was a great concern of his father Hans. After all, the expense that he had gone to in educating Martin, his old father knew that monks had no legitimate children, and he wanted grandchildren. But God gave Martin Luther a wife, And he and Katie Luther had many children, and the firstborn was named Hans for his grandfather. Now, Martin Luther also has a great multitude of spiritual children today. Once he took his stand for the truth of God, for the gospel, and for the word of God, Luther's spiritual children began to multiply exceedingly and rapidly. Shortly after Luther translated the New Testament into German, William Tyndale did likewise, putting the New Testament into English. Now, I want you to listen carefully to these names. Dr. Robert Ridley, the uncle of Nicholas Ridley, the martyr. Dr. Robert Ridley was not a nice fellow. Immediately upon William Tyndale doing his work, Dr. Robert Ridley, an English clergyman, Romanist clergyman, identified Tyndale as a Lutheran and condemned Tyndale's work as the most poisonous and abhorrible heresy. Well, Luther's writings spread like wildfire across Europe, and even his 95 theses were soon known on the streets of Jerusalem in Palestine. Now, that's pretty amazing. In a short time, his 95 theses were being read on the streets of Jerusalem. Now, Cambridge University was called Little Germany because the students were reading Luther's Latin writings and talking about him from the year 1520 onwards. Many young English scholars met regularly in the White Horse Inn at Cambridge to discuss Luther's writings. Now, I'm going to tell you who some of those guys were, because you know some of those guys that met there, and they met for the specific purpose of discussing Luther's writings. Among them were such men as Robert Barnes, Thomas Bilney, Miles Coverdale, Thomas Cranmer, Hugh Latimer, Matthew Parker, and William Tyndale. The Roman Catholic hierarchy therefore held public burnings of Luther's writings in London and in Cambridge during 1520 and 1521. Now you remember, it had just begun 3 years earlier by that obscure German monk nailing up the 95 theses on the church door in Wittenberg. And now, it's all over England, in the center of scholarship, where ministers are studying. Thomas Bilney, Thomas Cranmer, Nicholas Ridley, William Tyndale, and Hugh Latimer were all burned at the stake. Why? For holding many of Luther's teachings. That's why they were burned. A young man from Scotland went over to Germany and studied in he was studying there at the time of Luther. He was studying Luther's writings. His name was Patrick Hamilton. And Patrick Hamilton was burned at the stake in 1528 because he had come back to Scotland and he was preaching so many of Luther's doctrines that he had learned. Now, Luther's spiritual sons abound to this day all over the planet. Luther could truly quote Psalm 61 and verse 5, "Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name." As Luther wrote in his most famous hymn, "The body they may kill, God's truth abideth still, his kingdom is forever." And you know what they said when they burned Patrick Hamilton in Scotland? Old Cardinal Beaton had him burned. They said that everywhere the smoke of Hamilton blew on the people, those people became Protestants. So I say Luther's heritage was not just his and Katie's natural sons, but a vast number of Luther's spiritual sons. Now I ask you, are you one of his spiritual descendants today? Can you identify with such things as he says in this hymn? The awful plight, the hopeless condition we were in. And then he said to his beloved son, in accents soft and tender, 'Tis time the battle should be won. Thyself shalt thou surrender. O brightest jewel of my crown, do thou to wretched man go down, both sin and death to conquer. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is. Are you one of his spiritual descendants? Luther was not at all desiring that his works would be published or that he would be remembered. That was not his desire at all. When they said they wanted to publish his works, he said, please don't. Just publish the Bible. He wanted the scriptures to be published, the saving Christ to be known. Do you know the Christ of the saving gospel today? That is the great issue. I declare in the second place that Luther's heritage includes the scriptures. Psalm 119, verse 111 is our second text. And that is these words, Psalm 119, verse 111. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. Now, if you are familiar with Psalm 119, you know that the word testimonies is a synonym for the Word of God, for the law of God, all through Psalm 119. And what is Psalm 119? It is all prayer or praise based on the word, the law of the living God. Now, putting the scriptures into the common language of the people was a major part of Luther's heritage. He knew that it was the light of the Holy Bible that had brought him out of that deep, thick Roman darkness. Truly, it is as the psalmist wrote, also in Psalm 119, the entrance of thy word giveth light and giveth understanding to the simple. I like Luther's translation of that verse. He said, the door of thy word giveth light. The entrance of thy word giveth light. The door where it comes into our lives, what light it gives. Luther's heart was fixed upon the truth of Holy Scripture, and nothing would shake him from it. Not even the constant threat of a martyr's death. He was not going to move away from the Word of God. That threat only drove him to cleave more closely to the Holy Spirit. Infallible Word of God. That threat. And boy, when you think about death, death should bring us into a much closer relationship with the Word of God. We come finally to see that Luther's heritage was not only sons, natural and spiritual sons, the scriptures, but Luther's heritage includes states. Now, this is very interesting. By states, I mean sovereign political entities, nations, body politic. Luther's life and stand for freedom of conscience and religious liberty impacts nations to this day. To this day. His promotion of the scriptures for all men does not just mean individuals, but nations. Also, at the beginning of this sermon, I read Psalm chapter 2, 2nd Psalm, and verse 8. What is that? The verse, ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. The first part of that verse, I want to give you a literal Hebrew translation. This is actually what it's saying. This psalm has a special reference to Christ, and this is the prayer that Christ prays to the Father. But it is also a plea and a promise for His children to make before the Almighty's throne. So very literally, the Hebrew wording here is, ask of me and I shall give thee the nations for thine heritage. Same Hebrew words. You find them translated that way in other parts of the Old Testament. Ask of me and I shall give thee the nations for thine heritage. Surely Martin Luther's impact is still felt among the nations of the earth. It was immediate and it continues even up till now. Because one man stood up, one man defied the apostate religious system and also stood up and defied the tyrannical state. And what's so amazing about that? And yet God protected him. Others were therefore emboldened to stand up for the truth and liberty as well. Do you remember what the Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, verse 14? Paul was locked up in jail in the prison, and he said, many brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. What's Paul saying? He's saying, because I'm locked up here and I'm sending the word out and I've been proclaiming the word of God, others are getting courage. They are being emboldened to speak the word without fear. And because that one man stood up and God protected him, many other people were encouraged. We were watching a video there, Brother Nelson's church yesterday. And you could see that. I mean, this was about craze, you know, in case there was an active shooter event. So there's this guy lying on the steps like something's wrong with him. And they're just timing to see if anybody will have mercy on him. He's lying there in a very prominent place in the city of London on these steps. And as he's lying there, people look at him. And this one woman came by and she looked at this person and wanted to help. And finally, somebody else did help, and that encouraged her. She really wanted to help, but she was afraid to until somebody else did. And then she went over. And when Luther took his stand, it encouraged so many, even if they had to face death, because look how God had cared for him. 100 years after Luther posted those 95 theses on that door in Wittenberg, the overwhelming majority of the German nation was still standing with Luther. 100 years after that, we're still standing with him. On Christmas Day 1613, John Sigismund, the Elector of Brandenburg, received the Lord's Supper in the Royal Church of Berlin. What an impact the Reformation had upon princes. That man, John Sigismund, left the Roman Catholic Mass and took the communion in both the bread and the cup. Now that is quite amazing. The Germans were so convinced of the Reformation that they were not going to be moved 100 years later. They were willing to stand even if they did have to face what was coming. The horrific atrocities of the 30 Years' War on their soil. They stood. They had stuck with Luther for 100 years and they were not going to give up then. And half of the population died as a result of the 30 Years' War. But at the end of the 30 Years' War, they celebrated as a nation the freedom and liberty guaranteed by the Peace of Westphalia, 1648. The impact of the Lutheran Reformation was felt all over the world. Right there across the water from them, in the British Isles, the Lutheran Reformation was being felt. Anne Boleyn, the second wife of Henry VIII, was suspected of being a Lutheran. But Anne of Cleves, his fourth wife, left no doubts about it. She openly confessed her acceptance of Luther's Reformation. His fourth wife. Of course, you know, He had a way of killing all his wives, but anyway. So eventually the British nation professed Protestantism. But then followed so many of the nations. Sweden and Denmark and Norway and Finland, Estonia, Livonia, Prussia, Holland and Courland all became Protestant nations during Luther's lifetime. And we can be very thankful for the Lord turning the hearts of the Swedes to the Reformation, because it was, of course, the king of Sweden, the king of the Swedish nation, who won the 30 Years' War finally in Germany. You remember King Gustavus Adolphus. But not just those countries. Lithuania, Poland, Hungary, and France were about 50% Protestant by the year 1560, just a few years after Luther's death. And thus, our country, at the time of our war for independence from Britain, was over 99% Protestant. Isn't that amazing? At the time of the war with Britain, 99% Protestant. So I conclude that a part of Luther's heritage is also our country. Luther's father wanted Martin to become a great man. He has become great and well known, but not at all in the way that his earthly father proposed. Rather, Luther has become great through the flawless plan and providence of the everlasting Father. His heritage includes many sons, as is said of Christ in Hebrews 2:10, that he is bringing many sons to glory. Are you one of those sons? It must be by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, that we become the children of God. Luther's heritage includes the Scriptures. I don't know if you knew, but when our translators in England were translating the Authorized Version, they actually referred constantly to Luther's translation all the way through their translation work to see how he did it. Praise God that we have the bright, shining light of Holy Scripture. Finally, Luther's heritage is the lasting impact that the Reformation has left on the states, like the United States. We believe in freedom of conscience. We believe in liberty regarding our religious convictions, and we believe in the priesthood of all believers. We enjoy these benefits and many more because Almighty God raised up a man who was willing to stand against everybody else on the planet, if need be, to stand against all the powers of darkness, even in the face of death. And look what God has given to us. Praise God. Let us pray together. Let us seek the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we are thankful that Thou art the one that raises one up and puts another down. And Lord, we praise Thee for what Thou didst do 500 years ago. Lord, we pray that we would be emboldened to stand, to speak, because of Thy good hand upon Thy servant, even bringing him to a natural death as an older man. Oh God, we thank Thee for Thy wonderful providence. And Lord, we pray that Thou wilt cause us not to forget what Thou hast done and what our responsibilities are, that we owe so much to Thee because of Thy particular caring providence. And now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.